Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How are y'all doing today?
Good.
Good. Oh, Memorial Day is tomorrow. I was struggling about what am I going to speak on for Memorial Day? You know, it's because one of the things that you try to do is if something's on everybody's mind, you talk about whatever that thing is, you know, Memorial Day, remembering things past. And I just couldn't come up with a whole lot. I was just racking my brain Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then Thursday, I was out in the yard. And Jim Cato and I, we were at my house back in the fall. And we were looking at my ground and our new house. And he said, and back in our corner, we had this little cups of trees, just little bitty trees, not very big at all. And in amongst these trees, there was some black spruce, really nice. And you know what? I like black spruce because it reminds me of pine trees from down south, and just like a little piece of home in my backyard. Well, we've been talking about, he and I talked about clearing some of that out and just leaving the black spruce in there in a nice little patch, and that'd be nice. It looked nice in our yard. So Thursday, I had decided I was going to put up a fence so that four-wheelers couldn't drive through my yard, or actually put it up again since it had fallen down for four-wheelers driving through my yard. But at any rate, so I went out and I was putting it up, and so I decided I was just going to go ahead and start cleaning out some of those little trees away from the black spruce. And as I got in there, there were some bigger trees and some smaller trees, and I got on my leather gloves and I was pulling up some of these trees out. And the little ones, I could pull it up by my hand and just throw them over onto Wasilla High School's property. And don't tell them. And then, but there, as I was pulling up some of these smaller trees, I'd occasionally run into a tree that its root had gotten down pretty low in the ground, and I'd be tugging on it and end up had to bring out an axe and cut it up and throw it over just to clear out some of this land so that I could have my pretty black spruce in my backyard. And I remembered a parable that we've been talking about for a few weeks in the adult class up here, Brother Williams. And in that parable, it talked about sowing seed. And that seed got cast onto different kinds of grounds. And one of the seed landed on good grounds, but thorns had grown up amongst it and choked out the good plants. Took all the nutrients and just killed the word. To where that person, what had good ground got choked out. And I started thinking about my spruce trees and how all these little bitty trees were sapping up all the nutrients out of the soil and taking over the sunlight and just pushing down my pretty black spruces in my backyard. And that those were the cares of the world. That's what Jesus said. That the thorns were the cares of the world. You had someone who had taken the word, had become a Christian. Well, he wasn't talking about Christian. He was just talking about someone being ready for the kingdom of God. But in our day, that's someone who became a Christian, but they let cares in the world grow up in their life and choke it out of them. Choke spirituality right out of them. Today we're going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter 1. So if you'll go ahead and turn there, that's where we'll spend the rest of our time. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now as we're looking at gardening our lives, we have to realize that we must weed our lives of sin and the cares of this world. We have to remember daily to weed our lives of the sin and the cares of this world. Because if we do not, our spiritual well-being will be choked out of us. Now, Peter starts off in verse 1 of 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So Peter says, okay, this is Peter, I'm an apostle, and I'm writing to you who have received the faith. So he's writing to Christians. Well, I'll be. It works. All right, good deal. I can walk around now. Not that I do much of that, but I can walk around. I can if I want to. He says, grace and peace. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So he says that the knowledge that you have of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, I want that to multiply grace and peace in your life. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Seeing that His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory. So, He has provided us everything we need to know for life and for godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and His excellence. So, God's glory and excellence in His infinity, in His infinite mind, He called us and gave us everything we need for life and godliness. Then He says, this glory and excellence, for by these things, verse 4, His glory and excellence, for by these He has granted to us precious and magnificent promises. By His glory and excellence, He gave us some awesome promises. He gave us these promises so that we may become partakers of the divine nature. He gave us promises so that we could become a part of the divine nature. That we could be one with God. See that? Is that not magnificent promises?
Amen.
Yes, that is some magnificent promises. Let's continue on. For by these things He has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Not only do we have this part of the divine nature, but we have an escape from the corruption and the lust of this world. You know what God just gave us right there? What God just gave us is a clean garden. That's what He gave us. There's no weeds in our garden. God gave us a fresh plowed garden with the seed in it, and we're growing. And it's ours. He gave it to us. He supplied it for us. We have this clean garden. Has no worldly lust, has no corruption. And in this garden, we have oneness with God. That's our garden. That's the life you have when you become a Christian. Now, verse 5, now for this reason, What reason? The reason is that God gave you these things. God gave you this fresh plowed garden. And because He did that, apply all diligence. In other words, what I'm going to tell you next, you need to make sure you do. You got this fresh, clean garden. Well, what I'm going to tell you next is something you need to be strong at. You need to do it every day. You need to be diligent in it. So what does he say? Be diligent in your faith, supply moral excellence. Now our faith grants us, our faith that we have and our obedience to the faith that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives grants us this oneness with God, this clean slate that we have. And he says, to that faith, you add moral excellence. That's what the New American Standard Version says. Another word for that is valor. Valor. Another word for that is virtue. These things that are good in life, because you have a faith in Jesus Christ, you add to that this moral excellence, this excellence of life, these good things. The NIV says goodness. Add to that goodness. And he says, into your moral excellence, knowledge. So as we're trying to learn these good things in life, the next step is, well, we need to find out what God wants us to do. Not just what we think might be nice, but what God wants us to do. We need to add knowledge to this goodness in life. So we get this knowledge from God. And then Peter continues on. He says, but now if you start getting smart, you start getting some knowledge on you, you want to make sure, what's the next one? That you have self-control. Why? Because if you start getting too smart, you might think that you're somebody. You might think that you cleaned your own garden. And that you got something on everybody else. But that's not the case. You got to remember who you are. You got to have some self-control in your life. But then not only do you have to have self-control, but you add to your self-control perseverance. That's being able to stick fast no matter what comes at you. Because as you're adding these things, guess what? If you're wanting to grow, Satan's going to be gunning for you. We talked about that a little last week. That if you're wanting to do what's right, Satan's going to start coming after you. He's going to try to get you. And he's going to throw things at you in life. And you need to make sure that you are unmovable. You want to make sure that you stick to it regardless of what happens in your life. Because you need to remember, this is the garden that God gave me, and I want to keep cleaning these weeds out. I want to keep cleaning in my garden. So then you get this perseverance, and it says, but to your perseverance, add godliness. Try to be like God. You learn more about who God is, and you start sticking to your faith. It's not good enough just to try to do good things and just to know what God wants. We have to try to become like God. God who is holy, who is pure, that's the way we want to be. We should have the desire to be godly. And then we add to our godliness brotherly kindness. What do you think that is? Because don't you think that God cares for His children? This is a family type love. Brotherly kindness. That means I'm going to be good to my brother Stick over here because he's my brother. I'm going to be good to Adam because Adam's my brother. We're family. I'm going to be good to CB because CB's my blood. That's who this church is. They are my family, and I need to treat them kind. Kindly, I guess. And I need to treat them kindly. I need to show my love for my brethren. But then, not only that, God says, you're not just good enough just treating your brethren kind. You got to take it one step further than that, and you got to add to your brotherly kindness love. And that's the greatest of all things. Love, because that's what God is. Love is not just a love for people who love you or who like you. Love is something that you give to everybody. Because love is the only thing that's going to draw in a lost and dying world to the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. We're never going to... You can know the Bible from front to back, be able to quote whole chapters at a time, and it won't mean nothing. It won't mean nothing at all if you don't show people that you care for them. Even people who treat you bad. If somebody treats you bad, you're kind to them anyways. You're kind to them and you love them. And they're going to go, whoa, hang on. What's that about? Because you're going to show them God. Because that's who God is. Because if we remember, God, whenever we were lost and dying in our sins, sent His Son to die for us. He gave His own Son for us who were at war with Him. So, as we look at these steps, and you can go over those your own self later on, but we have these steps. And this is Peter's method of weeding his garden. You're putting fertilizer in it. You're doing all that you need to do to take care of it. To take care of your garden. This is taking care of it. You add all these things to your life. And then he says, For if these qualities are yours and are increasing. Okay, so this is a process. We adding these things together. But once you get to love, guess what? It doesn't end there. You got to start all over again and increase them some more. And then once you get there again to love, then you start all over again. And you begin again. And it's a continual process of growing in the Lord. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, what are they going to do, Peter? They will render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says that sort of weird. You would figure he would say that would render you useful and fruitful. But instead, he says, if you do these things, you won't be useless. Would you rather, which is more motivating to you? I don't know. I would kind of like to know that I'm useful. But he says, you're not going to be useless. You're not going to be a useless, rocky piece of ground if you're adding these things in your life. You're going to be able to bear fruit. You're not going to be unfruitful. You're not going to be barren. You're going to be useful. And you're going to be fruitful. In the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities. Now he says, whenever you're doing these things, you're going to be fruitful. You're going to have good ground. You're not going to be useless. You're going to be useful. But if you don't have them at all, what are you going to be? You're going to be blind and short-sighted, forgotten your purification from your former sins. That's what verse 9 says. For he who lacks these things is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his own purification from his former sins. If you forget these things, if you forget to have these things in your life every day, if you forget to check yourself and examine yourself and to grow in these things, if you don't have those things, if you don't remember those things, then you're blind. And you forgot the greatest gift that God ever gave this world. Therefore, brethren, verse 10, be all the more diligent to make certain his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. That right there is keeping weeds out of your garden. And let me tell you, whenever I was out there pulling up those trees, the deeper those roots got, the harder it was to pull them out. And I want to tell you this, teenagers. Right now, you're in a very, very tough time in your life. Each and every one of you. You got people around you that you're having to be around at school and such that are going to introduce weeds into your garden. And if you take on some of those aspects in your own life, it's going to be hard to get them out. The longer you do them, the harder it's going to be to get them out. I remember yesterday, Miss Roxanne, I'm going to use you as an example. Yesterday, Jesse has this new little habit that he's coming up with, pulling his lip down. Ain't that right, Jesse? And just sitting there like that. And we're sitting at the table, and she says, Jesse, you have gotten this new habit. It's not a good habit. It's just not very appealing. You see, if you start getting those things out of your life soon as they start, then it's easier to stop them. But if you get caught up in something over and over and over and over, and you get that to be part of your life, it will get a grip on you, and it is so hard to get it out. It is so difficult to get it out of your life. You got to make sure you got a clean garden. God gave you a clean garden. Keep it that way. This is an everyday process, an everyday thing. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord. That's not the kingdom, that's not the reign that's right here. This is the eternal kingdom, the one that's never going to fade away. That's heaven. You hear? In this way, the entrance to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. You see, God gave us a clean garden. God can give you a clean garden if you don't have a clean garden. He can give it to you. But not only that, He gives us a clean garden while we're here to take care of. And then if we take care of our garden, He gives us a home in heaven. That's God's gift for you. Do we deserve it? No, sir, we don't deserve it. Not one bit. There's nothing that Bill Williams has done that deserves a home in heaven. But God loves me enough that if I will take care of the things that He's given me, He will supply me an entrance to my heavenly home. Now, so what we have is we have a clean plowed garden. And we have a process of continually weeding out our garden. And then, if we forget, weeds are going to grow up. If we don't go out in our backyard and pull up those weeds out of our garden, guess what? Those weeds are going to keep growing. So we don't want to forget. We want every day to go out and we want to check our garden. We want to clean it up. We want to examine ourselves and grow. And Peter says, this is great. You want to talk about Memorial Day? Well, here it is. Here's our Memorial Day sermon right here. Peter says in verse 12, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. Even though you already know them and have been established in the truth, which is present with you, I consider it right. Now, he's already said, I'm going to remind you, even though you already know it, even though you already got it in your life, I'm going to remind you of it anyway. Then he says, verse 13, I consider it right, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. That's twice. You want a three-part sermon? One is reminder. He got a reminder. Number two, he's going to remind you again. And then number three, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, Peter says, I'm fixing to die. I'm fixing to get out of here, just like the Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Verse 15, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. He says, I'm going to remind you, and I'm going to remind you as long as I'm here. And whenever I'm gone, I'm going to leave things behind so you can still remember. Why? Because remembering is that important. The Memorial Day lesson is we have to remember to clean our garden every single day. I'm not at the same place as CB is. And CB's not at the same place as Tim is. And Tim's not at the same place as David is. But here's something for us all. You've got to remember. You got to remember, remember, remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and God through that gave you a clean garden. And Peter tells you the process of how to keep it clean. We need to examine ourselves daily. Look through these things. Moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness and love. Wherever you need work, work on it. Examine yourself every day. That's my challenge to this church today. Not only for you, but for me also. We need to look at these things in our lives and take those steps to grow. As far as remembering is concerned, I'm a forgetful person. You tell me something, I'll forget 15 minutes later. Man, I can tell you that. One of the things that I need to do is to write myself notes. Because if I don't write something down, then I'm going to forget it. If you tell me something, I don't write it down, I hate to say it, but it's probably going to be lost somewhere between here and there. We're reading a book over at Pete's house, and one of the last things that this person, the man who wrote the book, one of the last things that was said was that he tried every morning, whenever he rolled out of bed, to let his knees hit the floor first instead of his feet. Because as soon as his feet hit the floor, he was running. But if whenever he got out of his bed, the first thing that hit the floor were his knees. It was sort of awkward getting out of bed there at first, sliding down onto his knees. But whenever he hit his knees, he thanked God for the day and asked him to be with him. That's a remembrance. That's remembering things in your life. I don't know what it is that you need to remind yourself of what God has done for you and what you need to do in your life in response to that. But I challenge you, examine yourself and come up with something that you can remind yourself every day to leave God in your life. This book, this remembrance sermon was for those who are Christians. You need to remember every single day what God's done for you. But those who are outside of God's grace, those who are lost, who aren't Christians, you've got no hope. I'm going to shoot straight with you. Let me tell you, if you are not a Christian, if you are not a child of God, you are lost and you are dying and you are looking at an eternity in hell. That's rough. But God wants you to have a clean garden. God wants you to have a clean life. God wants to give you that entrance into His eternal kingdom. In the same way that Peter on the day of Pentecost told those folks, whenever they ask, what are we going to do about being lost? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, so that your sins can be taken away. That's how you get a clean garden. That's how you start. And today, this lesson is a challenge to those here in this church, but it's also a lesson for those who are having hard times in your life. And you want a clean garden. Today's the day to do it. Come forward. Be baptized into Christ. Or if you had a clean garden in the past and you got some weeds growing up and you don't exactly know how to get rid of them, well, come up here and we'll pray with you and for you. And we'll see what we can do to help you out. Please, if there's anything we can do for you, come to the front as we stand and sing.